Matthew chapter 26. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came to him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For the ointment might have been sold for much, and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say to you, Wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. This chapter is mostly a narrative leading up to Jesus' crucifixion. And the Pharisees have settled that they will take Jesus by subtlety, by guile. They're not going to outwit him openly. You know, where they sought to get something that they could have to accuse him to the multitudes. And they thought, we better not do this on the feast day, the day of the Passover. But sometimes events come together in such a way that we can't choose the time or place that things happen. The Jews as a whole were not fond of executions on their feast days. And in the house of Simon the leper, there's a woman who comes and has this very precious ointment in an alabaster box. She pours it on his head as he's eating. And his disciples are like, oh my goodness, look at this waste. Angry, indignant. To them, it seemed like a wise way to behave. They thought, well, this waste, you know, Jesus was a pretty austere man. He lived simply. He walked from place to place. He was always advising people to sell what they had and give it to the poor and come and follow him. And here, this woman is doing something to him with something very expensive that they thought, you know, Jesus doesn't anoint himself with precious ointment and oils and smelly things like that. In his lifetime, he hadn't. No, they never seen him go and buy expensive oils to whoosh. And Jesus says, Why are you troubling her? She's done something good to me. They're not mindful of what's about to happen. See, all the way up to the end, they're in a lot of denial about the crucifixion. Jesus says it, and they're so used to believing him and trusting him. But I'm sure to some degree they must think that there's something they're missing about this whole story, or that there's something not right. They don't totally accept the idea that he's going to be crucified. They're not preparing for his death. She's preparing him for his death. They would anoint the bodies with aromatic oils. Jesus says, You have the poor always with you, but me you do not always have. You know, can the children of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? A lot of things were different when Jesus was there than when now that he is gone. You know, when Jesus was there, it was a time to forsake all you had and come and follow him. Everything. Leave your house. Go. It's time to follow the Lord. And every generation of believers since then ought to have the same attitude, at least of readiness. We are supposed to mind our master's goods while he's gone. Be furtive at the work of the Lord while he's gone. Being ready always to forsake all. What I mean is, in the New Testament, Jesus says, you know, if you forsake your children and all that, you have a reward. But then after Jesus left, anyone who doesn't take care of his own is worse than an unbeliever. He's denied the faith. Is that a contradiction? No, it's a change of circumstance. Like for me, right now, to leave my family would mean that they would be in need. And someone else would have to take care of them. It would really just be some sort of selfishness on my part. If the trumpet was sounded and it said, The bridegroom cometh, and the calling of God came forth to me that I would have to go, regardless, then I would have to go, regardless of the situation at home, because of changed circumstances. It happens all the time in human society. Men stay with their families, right? But what happens when the invaders come, when the barbarians invade from a strange land? All the men have to come out and defend the land. Because if you don't go out and fight the battle, what's the point of even having the family? Because they're all going to be, you know, if you don't go and fight together, they'll kill you all separately. You know, at least that's the way it is when it comes to those kind of human conflicts. And there's circumstances that change whereby to protect what is mine and to truly keep what I have, I have to go forth and serve my master in his battle to truly keep what I have. Because if I don't go and serve him, I'll lose it all anyways. You know, like the rich young ruler who wouldn't give up his goods. He wouldn't go and give it away, and he ends up losing it anyways because he doesn't inherit eternal life. He lacked something for eternal life. He couldn't give it up, and therefore, he would not inherit. There's always time to do good to the poor. And there's always more good that needs to be done to the poor than there is good that can be done to the poor. But this was a moment in history where it was possible to do something good for the Lord. And she took up the opportunity and would not miss it. You know, where it could very easily be missed. If one isn't watching, you miss it. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said unto them, "What will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you?" And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he saw opportunity to betray him. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to such a man, and say to him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. They would prepare the Passover a day ahead of time. This would not actually be the actual Passover meal, or it's not likely. It's usually assumed it is, but there are certain little clues that make you realize it's probably not. This is the preparation day. Judas looking for an opportunity to betray him for that 30 pieces of silver. Jesus, with this knowledge, go to talk to this guy and just say, it's all set up. It's all known ahead of time how it's going to be. Where do we go? He knows exactly where he's going. He knows exactly what everything's going to be. He knows exactly what to say. Verse 20. Now when even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, "Verily I say to you, that one of you shall betray me." And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him,